Hey everybody there, and thanks again for tuning in to another episode. This is kind of like a 99.5 before we lead into the last and historic 100th episode. It's a bit of a bumper issue with some bonus content. We have some kind of a bit of a chat with me and John Webb when we did all the Epic reviews, and we had a bit of a hobby chat that sort of extended our regular time in the interview. So I sort of cut that and put it up on Patreon for a while for people to listen to. So I've chucked that in there for you guys. And also we've got GJ talking about the Call of the Crown October entries and how that's going, and also about the Oldhammer Dutch event that was held in 2022, just recently actually. And GJ brings some interviews with that as well. So hopefully you will enjoy the content in this episode, just to fill in the gap between now and the big one we have with Andy Chambers talking about Tyranids, which is really exciting. It might just take a little bit of time extra before we get that off the ground. So until then, guys, enjoy this episode, and we look forward to seeing you again next month for our 100th episode. So take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Hello everybody, it's GJ with an update for the Call of the Crown painting challenge. The October entries are in, and although we do still have some stragglers that are quickly catching up at the time of recording, I can say that October has been a major success. We have in total over 21,000 points that have been painted up across, well, almost 80 different people. There have been some who have either not yet submitted anything or who have had to use their first mulligan. I'm going to count them real quick. There's 2, 4, 5 people so far that have used their mulligan, and sadly we have already had to say goodbye to one of our contestants, Dave Galloway. He said that he was just too busy with all the things going on in real life that even a single mulligan would not save him. He said that he hopes to join in next time. Dave, mate, we wish you all the best with the situation that you are in now. In a little bit happier news, like I said, over 21,000 points painted, and over a quarter of this is just due to three people. Several people have submitted large amounts of points. We have, for example, Grim Dark Roast, who submitted 669 points of dwarves. We have Jeppe Dunning, who submitted 560 points of dark elves. There's also Flogger, who submitted a single vampire lord, Vlad von Karstein, which costs you 680 points, which is a great way to rake up those points. But these are not the people that I want to shout out. The people I do want to shout out are those that have painted almost or upwards of 1,000 points. And these are Jörn Huntler, who is doing a Wood Elf army. Jörn has painted, let's see, where is he? 934 points of Wood Elves. This does include a Lord on a Dragon, which quickly rakes up the points, but he still has a very nice starter army that he has presented to us. And I think that by the time you listen to this recording, I will have everything up on my blog. At the moment, I don't have that yet. That's just because I'm waiting for these final few stragglers to come in. Some people have been delayed a little bit. I'm not going to be too strict on deadlines, but please don't take that as a leeway to slack off. Let's see here. Jörn has his Wood Elf force, like I said, a Lord on Forest Dragon. He has scored a Falconer, which he also submitted for the Wargames Orchard Paint Challenge for October. And he has a unit of a Glade Guard with bows and a command group. This is still a small force compared to what the other two have submitted. We have, let's see, where is he in my list? I'm trying to keep track of everything in both an Excel file, and I've got a Word document in which I collect all the entries before I put them up on the website. We have a Frozen Orc who is painting up Tomb Kings, and he submitted an army of 1949 points, not including magic items. Sadly, it is not a legal army because in 6th edition you need a Tomb King to lead the army, I believe in 8th edition as well, Tomb King or Tomb Prince. But it's still a very impressive lot that he got here. He has two Bone Giants, he has two Tomb Scorpions, he's got a Casket of Souls, two units of cavalry that he managed to squeeze in last minute, a couple of Lich Priests, a Screaming Skull Catapult, and a unit of Skeleton Archers for almost 2,000 points. Very well done. But he does not take top position this month. That goes to, and I hope I pronounce your name correctly, it's either Stian or Stian. Probably not Stian, it doesn't sound like an English name. Stian, I'm going with Stian. Please correct me if I'm doing this wrong. He's painting Skaven, which is saying something, and that is upwards of 2,500 points that he submitted. He doesn't know the exact points value because the list he is using is from a scenario that is, I believe, in the Skaven army book, but I'm not quite sure about that. He has painted up a Doom Wheel. I'm not going to call everything out. I don't think I even recognize everything on this picture, just because I have not painted Skaven myself. But he has a Doom Wheel, he has Storm Vermin, I see Clan Rats in there, some Rat Swarms, a lot of Gutter Runners and Assassins he has. Let's check here if I am missing anything. Well, you can also read it for yourself. He wrote up a nice bit of text there. So, for all of the entries combined, over 21,000 points, I think that is a very, very good start to the challenge. And I know that a lot of people start off with this challenge full of fervor. And then towards the end, you see people not finding enough time, having to drop out, maybe painting less points. Some people are just at or just around the bare minimum for what they need to paint, and they will make up for it hopefully in later months. But let's see if we can keep this up. Let's see if we can paint at least 21,000 points in November. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Do check out all the pretty pictures, all the awesome paint jobs on my blog on gjsworkshop.wordpress.com. I'm pretty sure there will also be a link in the show notes in the description. You can find all the info over there. The October challenge post will be right at the top of the page. It might take a little bit of time to load because of all the pictures that will depend on your own computer and internet connection. Thank you all very much for listening, and to all the contestants, thanks for submitting such awesome photos of your paint jobs. And all the best of luck for this oncoming month.
What do you make of Space Hulk?
When I played a third edition, because that was my first set to play Space Hulk, the game, I wasn't overly... Well, playing the Marines is quite good. I hated playing the Steelers.
Okay.
I really just did not enjoy that experience of playing the Steelers at all. I found it just quite boring. But the game was quite good. I think what spoiled it was that we played a game, me and a friend of mine, at that time. We got to a point in a certain moment of the game. I think I was playing the Steelers, and I really wanted to win. And I think, he wanted to win as well. And it came to like a rules crutch, like something happened in the rules where it was like very ambiguous, and I had an interpretation, he had his interpretation, and we got quite heated about it.
Right, yeah.
And I just remember the
Steelers. Got up at 90s, ambiguous rule set that then, creates that friction, and it kind of kills the game, doesn't it?
It's not the 90s, though. This is the 2000s.
This is the newer one. Yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, it's the same rule set, really,
I just hear the store manager saying, hey, guys, it's just a game. And I think from that point, it sort of spoiled my whole kind of memory of playing Space Hulk, because it got so intense. It was such an intense game. It's not like one that you're going to laugh and have fun with. It's not like playing Blood Bowl. It's like a really, really intensive, have to think a lot about what you've got to forward think about so many different moves. And
I think that's my problem with it, is it's more like a kind of a puzzle than a game, if that makes sense. Like, you sort of set up a plan to finish the puzzle, and then you kind of execute the plan. And if you got it right, it works. And if you got it wrong, you fail. And there's not as much of that kind of, what I love in a war game is when you hit like a moment of like, oh God, my plan's gone south, and you have to quickly think of a solution and like pivot to a new strategy. Yeah. And I just find with Blood Bowl, you can't, not Blood Bowl, with Space Hulk, you can't do that, because you don't have enough kind of resources. And also it's like, because it's all in tunnels, which is very cool. It's very atmospheric, it's very aliens, very cool. But like, you are in a tunnel with one way in and one way out and no maneuverability. So you can't be like, oh, do you know what? I'm going to ignore that flank and go down the other flank, or I'm going to send these guys on a mad dash. Because you're like, well, I'm in the tunnel, I've just got to slog my way out again. And I don't know, man. Like, it's I got the Blood Angels version. And again, like, didn't even build it. I don't think it just sat there for years. And then a couple of years ago, I mean, it's probably more than a couple of years ago now, I think about it, like me and Sam played it. And I was just like, this is Space Hulk? Like, this is what everyone's excited about? Like, it just feels so like predictable, if that makes sense. Like, so the Marines are going to go in a line, and the Flamer will be at the back, and the guy at the front will be on Overwatch. And each time you get to a section, one will peel off. And so, and it's just like, the Gene Steeler player is just waiting for them to fail an Overwatch roll and jam their gun. And then they've won, And I was like, that's not interesting to me. That's too, like, stodgy,
It's a very gamey game.
So I was surprised, because obviously it's like when that box you were playing came out, I was a kid in the 90s, I was like, oh my God, I need this game. Like, and interestingly, we sort of talked about it before, my first experience of seeing people play a Games Workshop game was some guys playing, I think it was technically Advanced Space Crusade, but it's hard to know, because I think they'd sort of, I mean, it could have even been 40K, but they were playing it on a Space Hulk board. And so my first ever, visual representation of 40K was Orcs versus Space Marines playing on a Space Hulk board. And I was like, that looks incredible, running through the tunnels. And, I don't think I'd even seen Alien at that point, because I was a kid. But like, visually, it's brilliant. Like, the concept is brilliant. I just find the execution is not to my taste, shall we say. But I know it's got fans. I'm, I mean, I'm the guy that hates Blood Bowl, so I'm the bad guy. I get it. But there's a thread there. Actually, Jervis wrote both of those games, didn't he? Oh, dangerous.
Actually, no. Richard Halliwell wrote. I had to.
No, originally, Hulk, sure. Yeah,
Space Hulk. Sure. Yeah, Blood Bowl's Jervis's creation.
Yeah.
If you wanted opposite of the spectrum, then you've got Blood Bowl. That's kind of like totally unpredictable.
Almost tediously so. But I appreciate, I am in a minority as the guy who hates Blood Bowl is a game with a, I mean, you think how well that game sustained without Games Workshop. The Blood Bowl community kept that game alive. So many people were doing so many amazing teams, huge tournaments. Like, so people love it, but it is not a game for me. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I'll tell you what, though, Chris has made me realize that, I think playing with the right person, you can have a really fun game of Space Hulk. And today was like the most memorable. Like, it's a game I'll never forget. Like, it was that good. It was like, basically 15 minutes in, we're about to call it and say, mate, I don't think I'm ever going to complete this mission. And he was like, I don't think you're going to do it. We might as well just call it now and just, set another date to play it again. And I said, okay, well, let's stick through it. Let's stick through another turn and see how I go. And man, I just, I miraculously pulled it off. I pulled off something that could never be pulled off. And it stunned Chris, I can tell you now, because I was rolling sixes, mate, like you wouldn't believe. Like I was just rolling six after six after six. Two sixes in a row, you know, like just killing Steelers left, right, and center. Like he got most of my guys. I think I had three guys left. But I completed the mission. I had to take that cat. It's the
kind of remote
device kind of thing, track thing. I've got to carry it all the way from one end to the other. And I managed to do it. So
you snuck in a win. Divine moment of inspiration from the Emperor. And
yeah, as I said, the Emperor. Yeah. Oh, someone's coming in from behind you, mate. Someone's coming in.
Oh, that's Sam.
Yeah. but
say hello, Sam.
Hi, Sam. How are you going? I talk about you a lot sometimes. Really, really good game. I will never forget it. And I'll say that was really good one. It really imprinted.
That's cool. I mean, that's it. Like when you get a game, like it doesn't matter what the rules is, when you get those moments where it just clicks and everyone's having an amazing time and it's down to those like clutch rolls and like, oh, you know, you didn't think you'd pull out the bag. They are great. Like that's when gaming is at its best.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of sad that happens so rarely.
Mm.
But man, when it happens, it's a good game, right?
Yeah, mate, that's it. Yeah. I mean, I could probably have a totally horrible experience playing Blood Bowl, for example, with the wrong person. I could have a terrible experience playing Warhammer 40K with the wrong person. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think with good company, it just changes the reflection of the game completely.
Mm.
And so that's something that I took away from that experience anyway. And now I really want the Space Hulk second edition because I know Paul's keen to play it too.
Okay, cool.
So I'll have to track it down at some point and get my hands on it. But it's good.
Brilliant.
How about you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Just chugging away with my elves. And I was just adding it up. I said, Sam, I've painted 35 models and I've not even hit 1,000 points yet. It's really frustrating.
Now, this is I've got the last two on the board.
The same hand. I've got two more on the desk, two Shadow Weavers, and that'll take me up to 1,000. But I've sort of cheated for the second 1,000. I put the Titan in there because I'm like, I need to get through this now. I've actually paid quite a lot of the Titan as well. So I'll get to 2,000 a lot faster. But it was just 25 stands of jet bikes, man. That's a lot of jet. Well, 30 actually, because I had to do the free card as well. So yeah, 20 jet bike stands and 10 Vipers is a lot of models to paint. Like that's like a Warhammer regiment, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
but yeah, not too bad. So we're gonna talk about Titan Legions.
We're gonna talk about Titan Legions. So we had a bit of a we sort of had a bit of a hobby talk and what we've been up to. So that's been good. But I know you've been, you know, doing a lot of stuff like painting wise on Facebook. I've seen a lot of your posts there, mate. So it's good that you're still motivated to keep it going.
Finish that stand of orc tracks. And I think, to be honest, that's kind of what reignited me jumping into Epic. So this was just, I think it must have been just after we moved down here. So about 5 years ago, I just, you know, I dabbled with my Epic. Yeah, I've been Epic for years, but like I just started painting, repainting some of the models because I'd done them all up as Death Skulls in silver and blue, but like a really like mucky, murky color scheme. It was really drab. And so I just grabbed a couple of the models and started throwing some red on them. I was like, oh, let's make them Evil Suns actually. So yeah, I'd painted those two tracks 5 years ago. And I just, like, every time I opened the case, the other three were just like, why won't you paint me, John? And so I was like, right, I need a break from painting red. So what I'm going to do is instead of painting red Elder, I'm going to paint red Orcs. And so yeah, I smashed out the rest of the card just as a little palette cleanser between the end of the jet bikes and the start of the vehicles. So yeah, that's good. And yeah, you know, nearly hit 1,000 points of the Elder. Can I push on and do the 3,000? We shall see. But I'm getting that itch. Other projects are calling out to me. I'm looking through my boxes. I'm looking at my Orcs thinking, oh, I could do some more Bad Moons because I need a second clan painted up. But I don't know. Like, I'm very bad at sticking to the course and getting something done. So we'll see how it goes. You know,
there you go, mate. Yeah.
I'm off to buy some yellow paint today. So it may be that I'm about to jump ship and jump on the Bad Moons.
Now you're investing in paint. Maybe that's a good idea to get some Bad Moons painted up then, mate. Yeah,
absolutely. That's not my jam. I like to do my proper, you know, the old school base wash layer up. Takes forever, but I think it just gives a better finish. I'm still, you know, I've dabbled with contrast. I've tried some things. Like I did use it to panel line the warp hunters that I did. So you know, I do use it in places, but what I don't do is use it like it was designed to be used. I use it more as like a pin wash or a panel wash. Because every time I've tried to do the whole contrast thing, I think it's because I don't work over a white base coat, you know, and I tend to base coat with the color and then try and use it like the initial wash. It kind of works, but actually I think with Epic you're better off just precisely lining in your edges for the shade and then highlighting up, because it just saves time. We'll see.
I've never used contrast myself. I just hear people swear by it for Epic. So I don't know.
I've seen a lot of people do it, and it does, like, you know, if you're just looking to get stuff painted, definitely, you know, prime and white, hit them with I wish I could be like that. You know, I wish I could be happy with that, because it does look great, you know, and you pick out a few details, you're ready to go. But it's like, you know, you read the old Epic books and you're like, oh yeah, just paint your Space Marines in one color and then pick the bottles out in silver. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. That's wrong. Like, so yeah, unfortunately it's my own hubris gets in the way and means I take forever painting tiny, tiny elves when I could be smashing them out with contrast. But we'll see. Maybe when I'm sick of the army, I'll just do the last 1,000 points quickly.
Yeah, that way you get them done, mate. That's why you get them done. Like, yeah.
True.
I take time with the vehicles. I take time with the Titans. I take time with all those kind of things, the things that really matter. Infantry, just to 3 colors, maybe just block color, flight highlights. That's it. You know, I'm not.
But you're really still highlighting your infantry. I mean, look at your Chaos. You still put highlights on there, man. You're still doing it.
Still doing it, but I'm doing it very quickly. I want to get that process finished as quickly as possible, because the way you're doing it, mate, like, it looks really nice, but yeah, it would just take so long. I would just lose interest. I'll lose motivation after a while, I think.
Sure.
I need to see
you results. You do have the fast paint ability, but like not in a kind of sloppy way. Just like you have that perfect blend of like quality paint job with speed. And I'd love to know how you do it, because you seem to like smash stuff out at lightning speed, but it looks phenomenal. So yeah, you have to give us your secrets one day. What is the trick?
Listen to DVD. Josh's tricks.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I'd love to see it. You put it on the channel. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I tried painting videos. I just can't do them, mate. I can't do
right.
them. It's just positioning. Like, I like to sit back like this in my chair. Yeah. And to film like that, it's impossible. You know, you need to be like the Duncan Rhodes guy. Yeah, you got to be.
Yeah.
You're sitting up, you know, in the ergonomic chair, and posturing has to
be braced, fixed in one position.
That's the right way to do it. I'm doing it the wrong way. That's why I got to curve back, look like bloody Hunchback of Notre Dame. So don't do it my way, as Frank would say. You know, do it like Duncan Rhodes does, because that's the way to do it. Yeah, you need to get yourself. Yeah, so your posture is good, your back straight. I've been doing it for nearly 30 years now. Mm. So, you know, I can't change.
It's too late for us, right?
I've done some of those Song of Ice and Fire videos, and I did it like that, like positioned like sort of hunched over a table. And it's not easy to do. So I give a great amount of credit for anybody who do really good painting tutorial videos. And there's so many out there, so many good ones out there. I don't need to do any more. So I humbly retire.
Fair enough. Is that a copy of Warcry on the floor down there? Can I see?
You spotted it. Don't say anything, John. Don't say anything, because people will be shocked in awe of a Warcry box on the floor. But I did spoil some pictures on my Discord, on the Crown of Command Discord, to shock and awe people, and they were shocked and awed and revolted.
It's a really good game, man.
Look, I've never played. This is a painting commission I'm doing for a guy in Japan.
Okay.
It's been interesting because this is the very first time I've actually, well, apart from painting some of the underworld models, but these are the first, bracket Warcry Age of Sigmar models I'm painting. And it's been an interesting process. I can't say that I've not enjoyed it. I mean, they're a bit weird and wonderful. Lots of finicky details, like especially the assembly. The assembly was like the single characters on a single sprue. That's okay, but I think they've taken the piss, because I reckon they've just gone, okay, guys, we've got this side sprue, and this is the model. Now you need to dissect this so that every single part fills the entire sprue. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they've been told in the studio, right? So they just dissected pieces. So
well,
it will overlay and what, fit to
what it is it so. Because obviously I have a tiny bit of insider knowledge. So they work on a, like, you have X, they call them pads, but like call it, you know, space. So, you know, this frame is two pads, this frame is three pads, so on and so forth. I'm sure GW are going to sue me for giving away secret information now. And so they would know, right, we've got, you know, we've got this much space to fill.
Yeah.
And the reason the miniatures are cut so much now is, so if you, you know, you think of a, you know, a traditional metal model, or a resin figure, it's in a rubber mold. The mold can deform when you pull the model out, so you can do interesting posing. The problem with plastic is it can't flex, so it has to come out on a flat angle, so everything has to be drafted to between 1.5 to 3 degrees, and everything has to come out flat. And so what that means is if you do low part counts, you end up with very flat miniatures. So you think of, you know, you and me growing up in the 90s with our plastic miniatures, they're all like that. Because they can come out of the mold. And if you look at the Warcry stuff, and you know, and a lot of the Age of Sigmar stuff, and you know, some of the 40k stuff now, the posing is a lot more dynamic, and you have parts that cross the line. So you've got that layer, like, front, back, you know, everything, you know, the line of draft, everything falls away that way, and at the back falls away that way. And so what that means is no part can cross that line, because as soon as something crosses the line, it doesn't work, you can't make it. So the more parts you cut, the more pieces you have that can cross the line, because they're all flat when they get cast, but then when you assemble them, they cross the line. And so that's why, you know, every single arm, head, weapon, foot, even in some cases, is separate, because it means all of a sudden you can have pieces going in different directions rather than just north south. But the downside is it makes assembly quite an arduous process, because all of a sudden you have all of those pieces where, you know, you and I would be used to a two-part plastic kit, maybe, you know, like maybe the arm goes on separate. You think the old the Goth Orcs from the 40k second edition box, you know, the arm was separate because it allowed the arm to cross the line, and all of a sudden he was doing that as opposed to that. People listening to this will have no idea of the pose I just pulled, but I just imitated a Goth Orc for those playing along at home. And yeah, so that, you know, that's the problem, is the more parts you add, the more complicated it gets. And I think what's, you know, what's clever as well is, you know, they, as well as the kind of the knowledge that the team has, they then obviously then have the kind of the engineering aspect as well, because you've got the sculptor and the engineer, who are two different teams. And then there's also, you know, there's a certain amount of the computer program does some heavy lifting as well. And so they can, you know, part the frame out, and you know, a program will be like, oh, you know, if you, you know, do this here and this here and, you know, this, that and the other, you'll get like 10% more efficiency, and it just allows them to fill the frames. Like, it's hysterical. If you pick up, you know, a kind of a, when you and I were playing again in the kind of 90s and 2000s, and you look at a frame from then, they're so empty because that was all being done traditionally with, you know, with the human eye and the human mind, and so they were not really optimized. And now, because they've got this whole extra level of, you know, A, knowledge from 20 years of doing it, and B, this kind of this technology that helps supplement their knowledge, they can just increase the like the frame layout in such a way that you can put way, way more on in way, way less space. So, you know, you think of the Falcon Grav Tank frame is a really good example. That is a barren frame when you look at it compared to now, where, you know, a vehicle frame or a squad frame is absolutely packed. So yeah, it's really interesting. But it I know what you mean. Like, there's that weird thing of, yeah, I think you and I were talking about it the other day, like there was something quite fun about just busting a blister pack open, gluing the models in the bases and away you go. And now assembling the figure is almost like as much time as painting the figure sometimes, because there's just so much going on.
Yeah, like the single models, and we're gonna get back on track in just a second, but just to finish off, yeah, the single models are okay to put together. I don't mind those. The multi-part kits where you've got like five to a regiment, and each individual part is suited for an individual model.
Mm.
That just drove me nuts, mate. these bloody dinosaur-looking cavalry things they're riding, those things put together were just a nightmare. So yeah, I'll be very happy when it's done and dusted and I can hand it back to the guy and say thank you very much and never again.
I don't take commissions anymore because they just get in the way of you painting for yourself. Like, there was a time when I did it for various reasons, it was kind of how I generated my hobby money, whatever. But you end up realizing, you know, I painted for like 3 or 4 years and I had nothing to show for it, because because why would I ever paint for myself when there's a commission on the desk? So it's one of those things, like, unless there is a, you know, a pertinent financial reason for you to paint commission, don't do it, man. Like, it's just not, it's never worth your time, and you will come to resent it. So yeah, like anyone that paints commission, I work with various painters around the world. I take my hat off to them, because I've been there, I've done it. The money's not spectacular, and it just kills your hobby. So
yeah, well, I found a good balance, mate. Like, I do, like, today I finished off 3 Man of War Nurgle ships in the Chaos Wizard Tower. So I did that. I'm sort of doing stuff of my own, plus, you know, his stuff. I've got to do that to keep my sanity. Otherwise, I'll go insane. And obviously, I'm doing it for financial reasons. I've got bills to pay, and I need extra money through the year to cover those. And I want to travel to Australia and that kind of thing. I've got to pay for that. So all that painting commission does come in handy. Sort of plus,
when they, hobby key, yeah.
Yeah, when they come up, I really can't say no. You know what I mean? Like, I'll put down the price and say, okay, I'll paint it for this much. And if he says, yeah, then I'm going to say, okay, I'll grab it with 2 hands and just take it. And,
okay.
You know, it's painting. I mean, it's not working down in some mine or something like that. You know?
No, sure, it could, sure.
Could be a lot worse things. But yeah, I always juggle it between doing something good for myself, doing something good for the commission, and sort of just doing it that way, time sharing it that way. But but hey, you know, it's an experience. I'm taking it as an experience, and that way I'm now,
I mean, it's good.
I can say, yes, I put together Agency of Models. Yes, I painted them. Yes, here's some photographs. You need some samples for the future. And
that's good, like, to get outside of your like comfort zone, or to paint stuff that you never would have otherwise painted. That's quite fun. Like, you know, I got to paint all sorts of crazy models. Like, you know, I was painting a bunch of Infinity stuff, and I wasn't really ever going to play Infinity that much, things like that. So, you know, there are advantages, but I just think there's not enough. You know, there's only so many models I'm going to paint before I die, and the more of them that are not mine, the bigger my pile of lead gets. You know?
Jesus, that's a depressing thought. Thanks, John.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Sorry to bring you down on a Saturday morning.
Oh, let's quit this podcast. I'm going to go start painting before I die.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, we're ending it here.
Hello everybody, it's JJ. I am home again after a very nice long day of playing Warhammer, watching some games. Basically, I'm just reporting to you from the Dutch Oldhammer Con, about the Dutch Oldhammer Con, I should say. Although I've also been reporting from the Dutch Oldhammer Con. I have been doing some interviews with people, playing some games, and that has created this segment. Joshua asked me if I could interview some people, give you some impressions from the Dutch Oldhammer Con. This was the first time this event was organized. It was organized by Sjoerd, who, if you are a fan of the podcast, you have already met. He has been on. Joshua interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, maybe a few months ago. And today was the first time that he organized a day. We had 39 people joining us, despite some people having to cancel last minute because of work or because of sickness, health reasons. So, all in all, I must say my impressions of this day have been quite overwhelming. It's nice to see so many people still caring about these old games, being in general. There was a very nice open atmosphere. People were happy to talk about the things. They moved around, they came looking at the tables, sometimes asked questions. Some of them sat down for a little bit longer, watching some games being played entirely. Some people even participating in games. So all in all, it was a great success. And that's not just me saying that. I also interviewed Sjoerd, and he has confirmed this, that in his eyes it was a success as well. Now, I do apologize in advance for the audio. I have a microphone that I use for podcasting, which is fine if it's steady on the table and if I don't move around too much. But the audio sensitivity changes a bit, so I have tried with my limited podcast editing skills to normalize the sound as best as I could, but there are still some times that the sound of my voice is a little bit too loud because I keep the mic closer to my mouth than to that of the person I am interviewing. So I do hope this does not distract you too much or dampen your enjoyment. Let's go take a look around the Dutch Oldhammer Con. I'm going to walk around for a bit, see who I can talk to. We have here a Warhammer Quest game going on. We have a Warhammer Fantasy 3rd Edition game going on. Gentlemen, where are you from? What are you playing? Who's winning? Who's losing?
Well, my name is Joop. Avid Wargamer since the early 80s, since the 2nd Edition Warhammer, so old veteran. Playing with Arthur, we are playing now a Warhammer Quest, and we're both winning because we're playing against the system. So
excellent. And how about you, Arthur?
I've been a Wargamer since the early 90s, I think. And I discovered Warhammer in 1995. So, yeah, been in the hobby for quite a bit. And yeah, like Joop said, we're both winning.
Awesome. You seem to be enjoying yourselves. You have a very nice Warhammer Quest set here. I see not all the miniatures are painted yet. You guys are still actively playing, or is it just for this day that you dusted off the set and then came here?
No, I'm still, it's Arthur's game, but yes, it's a you're constantly painting, you're constantly expanding your set, and on a weekly basis we are still gaming, so not a big group. Arthur's from the other side of the country, so I meet them only at conventions and so forth, but I have a small gaming group in the south of Holland, and every Wednesday night the dice are being rolled.
Awesome. And how did you hear about this day? How did you get here?
Well, it's all Stuart's fault. He initiated this, and since we're both fan of older style Warhammer games, I sort of volunteered to help him out, and now we're here.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Enjoy your game. Let's see here. There are some nice pictures being taken of a 3rd edition Warhammer battle. I see a lot of undead and I see some chaos.
I'm a bit unhappy. That's a lot of undead and not a lot of chaos.
Well, that's also due to the points, of course, but you appear to be on the losing side then?
No, not yet. We'll see very quickly. This is basically a sort of end game of a running campaign that we've been playing for, I think, the last 2 or 3 years already. With Chaos vs. Unit, and there was a big escalation every time in what we were putting into the battles. And this is the big day where the magic users from both sides try to get control to either summon a demonic portal or cast a Wind of Death on the entire area and claim all the bodies for their own.
And neither has happened yet.
No, it only happens with three objectives. As soon as one player has all three of them at the end of the other player's turn, it's an automatic win. Because then he has all the magical power points. Otherwise, it will be who has the most of these at the end of the game. So there's nothing helping you in just killing everything. Well, you win, of course, because you have everything then. But the goal is just the power points.
Awesome. And you've been playing this for 2 years, just the two of you. I'm coming over to the other side of the table for a bit. You know each other? You both live near each other?
We live about an hour drive away, but we know each other for a long time, for over 20 years. Yeah, so we have been playing this for really for quite a while. I always wanted to start with Warhammer 3rd Edition, and we finally made it happen some time ago. It's a complex... complex edition, and we had to use some house rules and make some minor changes. But overall, it's a very enjoyable game.
And why third edition specifically?
It's a most elaborate, I think, not in volume, but most elaborate in the number of options and rules. And so it's very speaks a lot to the imagination, I think. And also, I really like the artwork and the models from that period.
Very good reasons, all of them. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Enjoy your game. Hello, Emil. Long time no see. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm playing my second game today with my newly painted Savage Orcs.
How's it going?
So far, so good. The dwarves blew up their cannon for turn one. So I'm going to keep reminding him to him because he likes that. And the first game, I had a small loss with only one victory point. So that was close, with some frenzy warlord killing lots and lots of Skaven.
Very nice. And let's go over to the dwarf side. Oscar, first time playing dwarves in a long time?
Very long time, about 25 years, and starting very well not. Destroy my cannon on the first turn, so yeah, let's see what happens.
Well, we have here on the table, we have some miniatures that people brought that are basically, well, whatever you want to pay for them, you can pay, you can bid. We have several boxes with free miniatures, free bits. People can just take whatever they want, but it is said here, well, please do keep it polite, leave some stuff for all the others. We also have here a nice table with a lot of bits, and we have someone looking through them. Hello, can I bother you for a few questions?
Of course.
What's your name?
Jelmer.
Jelmer, hi, welcome to the Oldhammer Con.
Thank you.
What are you looking for?
Yeah, just generally looking mostly at the games. I haven't played for a while, so I want to get into it as well. But yeah, just meeting people, meet the hobbyists. I've started like 3 years ago after a break of from 15 years. So yeah, just getting into it again with a friend.
And which games do you play?
Warhammer Fantasy, yeah.
All right, and now you're looking for fantasy bits to expand your armies.
Yes. A friend of mine plays Lizardmen, so I took some Lizardmen bits for him as well. And I found a Fanatic Ball, which I was looking for, so that's great. Yeah.
Orc and Goblin player yourself?
Yeah. I play six armies, Orcs and Goblins, Chaos, Demons of Chaos, Beastmen, Dark Elves and High Elves. So. Yeah, it's getting out of hand again.
Well, that's a nice mix. Let's go see what else is going on here. We have a very large, nicely built Necromunda table. What's your name playing Necromunda? How did you get here?
Oh, my name is Patrick. I'm a long time collector for older Games Workshop games like Necromunda and Gorka Morka and stuff like that. And we got an invite to host a Necromunda table here.
And this is all your own stuff?
Yes, mine and Jan Willems.
Right, looks beautiful. Well, I don't know anything about Necromunda myself, and I'm sure some of the listeners do and some don't. But how is it going? I know, and it's gang warfare. You have three players, I see, three different gangs.
Yeah, now we have chosen to take three players, three gangs, just a regular shootout. Usually you try to play scenarios, which makes the game a lot better. But for a demo like this, we usually do just some shootout. Yeah, it's a sort of a small gang fighting game, which uses hide and cover a lot. It's basically a small version of the 40K.
We have also here a Battlefleet Gothic table, which is not being played at the moment. Although there's someone browsing through the book. Hello, can I ask you a few questions? Well, what's your name? How did you get here? And what is your connection to Battlefleet Gothic?
My name is Niels. I come from Belgium. I got here by car. But we are a club from Belgium. We used to play Battlefield Gothic back in the day. And when we saw the advert for a Dutch Oldhammer Con, we were like, let's go there and let's bring Battlefield Gothic, because probably it's one of the least things represented here, because you see, it's the only table that's here. So that's why we came here, to show off Battlefield Gothic, because I don't think it's very much known to a lot of people. So,
How long did it take you to get here?
We drove for about 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's dedication, mate. Yeah, and have you played already, or because I see only you here at the table at the moment.
Yeah, my opponent is just grabbing a drink and phoning his wife, I think. Yeah, we are in the middle of turn three, I think. And yeah, it's the Black Templars, the Empire, which is played by me, against Chaos, the Iron Warriors. And it's not going good for the Black Templars so far. Chaos is doing his best, slaughtering the Empire, which sucks, but hey, here we are.
Well, as long as you're having fun, right?
Chaos rocks, yeah!
There you have it, folks. Well, gentlemen, enjoy your game. Good afternoon. What are you playing?
We're playing Rogue Trader.
Rogue Trader, awesome. First edition 40k.
Yes. Well, actually no edition 40k, just Rogue Trader 40k.
Well, I'm not a 40k player, but I know that after Rogue Trader came second edition, so to me it sounds like first. What's being played here?
We're playing an extermination scenario in which the Necrons are just swarming over the field and they're degrading the forces that there are, and their objective is to run across the field as quickly as possible, eliminating everything in their progress. My victory condition is mainly that I have to take out more of his than I'm worth, and in which case I stall the attack for long enough to be able to claim a victory.
Awesome, are you playing?
Either way, most of my guys are going to die.
Yeah, last stand scenario, right? So, and I take it you're playing Imperial Guard then?
We're playing Imperial Forces, because there's Imperial Guard, there's half a company of Space Marines, 2 Devastator squads, 3 Tacticals, some commands scattered around, and there is a tiny little group hidden of Inquisitorials with their assassins that are, if you can spot them, 2 there and 3 over there. And that's basically what I have.
And how many points is this? Because you have a rather large table. It's, let me think here real quick, 160 centimeters by 2 meter 40, I think?
Something like that. We just put the thing together that with the tables that we were allotted. I'm not even sure how many points I had. I had 2 days to write a scenario for this. And then my friend had to go to hospital and I was taking care of his cat, and walking into his house, I realized I had to spend those 2 days and the next 2 weeks getting his house back in order. So the scenario became an against the odds thing, so that he can play with everything that he's got, and when a unit gets destroyed, he can cycle it back. So that's how he gets enough power to walk over the board.
I am heading now to the organizer of the first Dutch Oldhammer Day, Sjoerd. Sjoerd is very busy looking at some of the nice miniatures on display here that he may or may not take home. Sjoerd, how do you look back on this day?
It was a very successful day.
What made it successful?
Well, nice atmosphere, lots of people coming. I really enjoyed myself, and so, well, most of us did, of all of us did.
Hey, I saw you also participate in some games, Necromunda, I believe.
Yes, Necromunda, first time.
How was it?
Oh, nice system. I need to buy a new game.
And I think we have some breaking news here. I heard you say that this was the first Dutch Oldhammer Day, but there will be
a next one next year.
Even bigger, even better.
Probably bigger, as there was a lot of enthusiasm from some other organizers from events that are no longer with us. So there might be a large upgrade.
And how did you experience the whole process of organizing this day? What are any things that you would do differently next time?
I'm not sure yet. We have to see if we do some, well, look back on the day and see what happened. A lot of info from people around. And till now, well, I think everything went well. We did our best. And in instance, it was just a gaming day. And it turned out a bit bigger. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have heard no negative feedback from anyone here. Everybody has, I think, has enjoyed themselves immensely. We're now nearing the end of the day. 15 more minutes or so, I believe.
15 minutes indeed, 45 minutes.
Right, so that means that I have to see if I can finish up the campaign and pack up again. Sure, thank you very much for organizing this day. I had a blast, and I hope that next year we will get some more of the podcast listeners here as well.
That would be nice. Yeah.
So as soon as we know a date, we will mention it, and then you can start booking your trips to the Netherlands. How does that sound?
Sounds like a marvelous idea. Just come over and join in.
Join the fun. Yes. All right. Thank you very much, Jurt.
You're welcome.